This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
10 minutes after 6 on this Wednesday morning, now with part one of the Morning Farm Show, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besh.
Thank you, Randy. Here are your closing prices from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn was $4.98, up 3. December corn $4.75 1/4, down 6 3/4. March corn $4.88, down 6 1/2. September soybeans were $14.35 1/2, up 11 1/2. November soybeans $13.86 3/4, up 29 1/4. January soybeans $13.85, up 30 1/4. September wheat was $6.36 1/2, down 6 3/4. December wheat $6.47 1/4, down 6 3/4. March wheat $6.58 3/4, down 6 3/4. Now here's your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Continued dry weather over a large part of the soybean growing area continued to support soybean values. In the northern and western part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 20 to 27 cents lower at 550 to 575. Soybeans were unchanged to 17 cents higher at 1447 to 1476. In the central part of the state, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 13 to 17 cents lower at 558 to 591. Soybean bids were up 25 to 30 cents at 1505 to 1526. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were sharply lower at 483 to 560, and soybean bids were 10 to 30 cents higher at 1447 to 1467. Wheat bids were 6 to 8 cents lower at $6 to 624. Now on to the Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids. They were 29 to 39 cents higher at 1531 to 1557. The basis unchanged to up 10 at 145 to 170 over the November. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $534.40 to $545.40 per ton, with the basis unchanged to up 5 at 49 to 60 over the September. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 24 to 25 cents lower at 560 to 580, with the basis 5 cents lower at 585 to 105 over the December option. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 50 to 65 cents lower at 495 to 555, with the basis 20 to 80 over the December. Soybeans ended 5 to 29 cents higher at 1437 to 1487, with the basis down 25 to unchanged at 50 to 100 over the November. Wheat prices were 29 to 32 cents higher at 637 to 647, with the basis at option to 10 under the December. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids sharply lower at 501 to 515. These elevators placed their soybean prices 10 to 46 cents lower, with quotations at 1437 to 1463. Soft wheat closed 6 cents lower at 631 to 632, and Milo ended the day down 26 cents at 489 to 490. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 448 to 460, and soybeans 1349 to 1372. In the central part of the state, corn ranged from 449 up to 462, and soybeans 1354 to 1375. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 449 up to 462, and soybeans 1362 to 1395. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Now here are your closing prices from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle were 126.20, down 60 cents. December live cattle, 130.10, down 37 cents. February live cattle, 131.57, down 7 cents. September feeder cattle were 157.17, up 25 cents. October feeder cattle, 159.10, up 15 cents. November feeder cattle, 159.90, up 17 cents. October lean hogs were 88, up 37 cents. December lean hogs, 84.97, up 22 cents. February lean hogs, 86.87, up 37 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is David Humphreys, the USDA and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.20 lower, in a range of $84.76 to $86.75, with a weighted average carcass price of $84.90. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading mostly steady, with light demand for light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 55 to 59. 4 to 5 weight at 56 to 63 and 500 to 550 at 61 to 65. Over 550 at 62 to 66. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points are trading a dollar higher, with light demand for moderate offerings, ranging from 58 to 61. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled 21,388. The opening report for United Producers Auction at Shelbyville on Tuesday, September 9th, were estimated receipts 197. Steers and heifers were steady to 50 cents lower. Holsteins were 50 cents lower. Slaughter steers choice 121 to 125 and selects at 114 to 120. Slaughter Holstein steers choice 113.50 to 116. Slaughter heifers choice 121 to 125. And some selects at 115 to 120. For the Fairview Sale Auction report for Tuesday, September 3rd, receipts were 240. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold steady to a dollar lower. Slaughter cows and bulls sold steady. Trade was active with good demand. Slaughter steers choice at 120 to 125.50. Slaughter steers select and choice at 116.50 to 122. Slaughter steers select 1 and 2s at 110 to 115. Slaughter heifers choice at 119 to 124.50. Slaughter cows breakers from 85.50 to 94.75. Slaughter cow boners at 72 to 83.25 and slaughter cows leans at 62.25 to 66.50. Slaughter bulls at 82.50 to 105.25. In the Illinois direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, a duress basis were 196. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 327 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $95.49, which was 53 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were 196.10, which is 43 cents higher, with select carcasses at 181.92, which was 74 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 124,000 compared to 124,000 for last week and 129,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 428,000 to 431,000 last week ago, and 440 1 year ago. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys of the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And now here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.50. August corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.80. July corn delivered to Scottville, $5.50. August corn delivered to Scottville, $4.80. July beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $14.41. August beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $14.09. July wheat delivered to Scottville, $6 even. Once again, those prices are corn at Greenfield is $5.50, corn at Scottville is $5.50, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $14.41, and wheat at Scottville is $6. That's all for part one of this morning's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
Thank you, Angela. It is 20 minutes after 6 on this Wednesday morning from FM 106. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company.
Ready to improve your farm's operating efficiency? Then talk to M&M Service about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. M&M Service will provide you with an integrated system of agronomic products and services. You'll find the process of decision-making a whole lot easier. Discover how M&M could apply precision farming technologies to your operation. Contact M&M Service Company today and find out why they are your partner to a better future. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the mid-80s with light and variable winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 60s. For tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 80s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy and warmer, low temperatures in the low 70s, highs in the low 90s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is rising. Partly cloudy skies on this Wednesday morning, 51 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. Once again, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch.
Syria is the last thing agriculture needed to get in the way of a farm bill, but one longtime ag senator says the issue of U.S. military action against Damascus could further complicate an already arduous path to new farm law. Iowa's Chuck Grassley says if things weren't tough enough for the farm bill, they may have just gotten tougher.
We already have an overcrowded agenda, and that's going to be tightened up by the president asking for a Syria resolution.
Grassley says the extent to which Syria further delays the farm bill action all depends on food stamps.
If the House feels that they have to pass a food stamp bill before they go to conference, it may slow it down considerably because I think this whole week is going to be taken up in the House of Representatives by this first week by Syria.
Grassley says the farm bill process could be sped up if the House GOP simply agreed to go to conference with the Senate without first passing a nutrition bill. But GOP leaders appear intent right now on passing the food stamp bill first, though Grassley adds,
I don't even think they have an agreement yet for having floor debate on a nutrition title yet. They're trying to get votes now for $40 billion cut. I assume that would have to be 100% Republican votes, and that may be difficult.
And with the Senate's refusal to extend the existing farm law again, the path to a new one is exceedingly narrow, raising the specter of a new fiscal year starting October 1st without one. Grassley says the sentiment among his constituents is the same. They want a bill passed, they want it passed yesterday, and they don't understand what's holding it up. Last week was an eventful week on the grain markets. This week maybe even more so as we see the impacts of the unfoldings surrounding Syria and how traders reacted to a long holiday weekend in light of these events.
Well, I think to put the perspective, the answer is yes, from the standpoint that we had a weather market last week, but the traders were very reluctant to carry their positions into a three-day holiday weekend, with weather being an unknown through the holiday weekend. But more significantly, when they went home on Friday, a military strike on Syria seemed imminent, and that made them very reluctant to carry positions into the market, not knowing how that might impact the whole investment world type of situation. You know, would money flow to the sidelines? And that's basically what we saw late last week. On Saturday, President Obama came out and said that he would not strike Syria without seeking congressional approval. That meant that a strike was no longer considered imminent. And when we continued to be dry through the weekend for most critical areas of the Midwest, not seeing significant rains in the driest parts of the Midwest. Traders reestablished their positions overnight, which pushed soybeans 50 cents or better higher at one point. We still haven't been able to take out overhead chart resistance, so this market is still somewhat vulnerable, but the bullishness of the market is clearly back in, especially in soybeans.
I know everything that's happening over in Syria is making pretty much all international markets a bit wary and a bit more watchful.
Absolutely, because when traders don't know what's going to be the reaction to Syria to a military strike, what's going to be the reaction of Russia, of Iran, a lot of unknowns around a potential military strike, and so that tends to make them reluctant to have their money in the hard assets. And yes, that would include the grain and oilseed markets, even though we do very little trade of grain and oilseeds in that part of the world. It still has a big impact on the investment world. And with the amount of the billions and billions of dollars of outside Wall Street money that's in the grains, that's going to have a big impact on price.
Soybeans have been on everyone's mind lately, questioning whether it will finish in time and how big the crop will be. Bill Brink of M&M Service Company told us how the local fields are looking.
Soybeans, last time, 2 weeks ago, I reported that they were in the R4 to R5 stage, and they've progressed to the R6 stage, which is seed fill. So they've progressed fairly rapidly as well. Looks like they're potted pretty well, a number of pods. Obviously, with the dry weather, hot, dry weather, seed size might be a factor this year. I think it's going to be kind of ironic that maybe, soybeans won't possibly be as good as they were a year ago. You know, the extreme drought last year, but we started getting August rains. This year, we've kind of missed those August rains. However, if we get some early September rains, that'll really bring soybean yields up as well. So, but they're progressing pretty rapidly. The only problems I've seen in this field, this benchmark field, there was some insect feeding out there from grasshopper and stink bug. But then looking at other soybean fields, getting away from that, we're seeing some disease problems showing up. I think last time we reported downy mildew was a problem in some of the fields, the small yellow spots that are appearing on the leaves. Other diseases that I've been seeing here, the Septoria brown spot. Now, that's a disease that we see almost every year. You push away the canopy and see the brown, yellow leaves on the bottom of the plant, and that's almost every year, almost every field that we have Septoria brown spot. Never a problem, but it is present again this year. See a little frog eye leaf spot out there, which very distinct brown spots on leaves with kind of a brown or purple halo around these spots. I see some of that out there. And in talking to the plant clinic at the University of Illinois in Champaign, Urbana, we're seeing some bacterial pustule, bacterial blight showing as well. And then I did see a field where SDS was there. I don't know. I'm guessing, though, it's probably a fairly early maturing variety, maybe a 3.7 or a 3.8 maturity variety. This is a disease that is infected, earlier in the spring during cool, wet conditions. We had that earlier this spring, and then it doesn't show up until maybe the R4 stage or whatever, so it's starting to show up now. Not very much, but I have seen some SDS out there. So some of these yellow spots that we see in the soybean fields may not be due to natural maturity. It may be just due to some of these diseases showing up.
Now, you mentioned what people should really evaluate for on their corn after this year. What should they look at for evaluating their soybeans?
Well, I think without a doubt, I travel a 3-county area. Without a doubt, I think the main problem is weed control. And once again, I think this can be due to, the wet conditions that we had. When we look at most soybean fields, water hemp is showing up. So I think, again, we're going to have to reevaluate the weed control system, the herbicide program. I would sit down and talk with your dealer, your M&M crop specialist, and talk about the need for a residual herbicide of some type, maybe even starting in the fall with some residuals and then following that up next spring with, you know, another residual plus, you know, the post-emergence of Roundup or whatever.
That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.